this Saturday morning to everybody. Welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services. I'm Gary Byron. Well, my friend, good to see you this morning.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Looking good. Listen, I'm peachy, man.
You're better than you should be.
Sometimes I feel that
way.
It's
true.
Although I think the last time that we did the show, I was a little under the weather.
I know.
But, you know what they say in show business, the show must go on.
Always. I agree.
So I was a trooper.
I actually, I'm impressed with how you plug along no matter what is going on. Especially during the 6 foot of snow and you're out there,
It's hard to do talk radio.
All those little elves in front
no
of
voice.
Your car shoveling so you can get here.
The elves are a little busy this time of year, though.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
It's a good time of year.
It is. You know what, though? It's hard to get into the Christmas spirit when it doesn't seem like it to me. When I was a kid, I'm no fan of cold weather, and I hate snow even more than I hate cold weather. I could take it maybe a little on Christmas Eve, and then as long as it goes away the day after Christmas. Anyhow.
You like it as a prop. That's it.
Exact. Thank you. As a prop.
Yeah.
For me, though, especially with warmer temperatures, and not that I'm complaining, as I said a minute ago, but it's hard to get into the spirit of the season because in my mind and in the movies, it always seems I just keep on going back to George Bailey. Oh, that's right. You've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
That
right?
is correct.
You said that last week, I think.
That is correct.
But it's hard when it doesn't feel like Christmas around you.
Christmas is inside your heart. How could you not feel Christmas?
Oh, here we go.
Yes. Jimmy's smiling. He knows what I'm talking about. Got you on that one, brother. Listen, yeah, I understand what you're saying because it is a little bit warmer, but it's still pretty darn cold. I don't know about you, but, 28 degrees when I get up in the morning, I'm not a happy camper.
Today, okay? Saturday, today is Saturday. It's going to be 55 today and 60 tomorrow. And
right.
Or Monday. What
right. And what's it going to be at night?
Well, yeah, I know.
Two.
Well, no, not two, but maybe 35, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? I hate to admit it, but as I get older, I don't like cold weather anymore. And I'm a skier, big skier.
I know.
My whole family, all very, very good skiers, okay? I don't like it anymore. I used to pray for snow. Now I pray, please, no snow. No. I don't like snow. I don't like cold weather. I'm sorry. I've turned into a Florida guy.
Well, you lived in Alabama for a while, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just tell
you. There's no snow in Alabama, is there? Or southern Alabama, there's probably not. What about northern Alabama?
There's no snow in Alabama. It snows once in a while, and when it does, it shuts the state down. So, you have a half of an inch of snow, and I'm not kidding.
No, I heard
a half that. Inch of snow, and the entire state shuts down because they have not one single piece of snow removal equipment. So they're done. Hmm. That's it. And then it gets cold with a little snow, freezes. And over there, everybody drills driveways up on hills because it's, it doesn't snow. So you have these steep driveways. Well, you're done. That's it. A little bit of slickness on
the ice.
Ice,
forget
you ain't
it,
right? going anywhere, pal. You're done.
Kick it a little salt or sand on there to help you.
You can do all the salt and sand you want. We're going to buy it. They don't even have it. I guess you could use your water softener salt if you wanted to. It's not like they sell salt for freezing or ice pellet stuff because it doesn't freeze there, except for when it does.
But it probably does a few times every winter, right?
You probably get one.
Well, then maybe they can keep it.
No.
They can.
Nobody. Who's going to stock something for one day? They're going to keep it in their store for one day?
If you knew people were going to come out and buy it that day, you'd probably sell out of it.
All right, here we go. The vicious circle.
Oh, stop.
Let me get on my horse. Da-dan-da-dan-da-dan-da-dan. Who can go faster in a circle than us?
Boy, it's Chris Radlitz.
See? He gets flabbergasted. He's at a loss for words. And what happens? Dead air time. Here, wait. Let's see how long we can go.
Hold on a second. I am never at a loss for words. Never.
All right. I don't think you are either.
No. Seldom. I shouldn't say literally never, but 98% of the times I'm not.
Hey, you're the consummate professional in this business. I see it.
I'm a work in progress.
Absolutely.
I can say that about every aspect of my life.
Sure.
I'm a work in progress when it comes to everything. My relationships, I'm a work in progress. I am far from, I'll never be perfect. There's only one perfect person.
That's right.
And we talk about him weekly.
Right.
But that's it. As far as I know, that was the only one.
Pretty much. Besides that, perfection's boring.
You think his life was boring?
No. I'm just saying perfection is boring. He's God. That's a whole different story. Dude, keep up. Put your get your slippers off. Put on your running shoes. Let's go. Come on.
Wow. Where? I mean, look at this guy. All right. Let's move right along. Start with some housekeeping issues. So do you have a financial offer? Last I knew you did. That you have offer till the end of the year, right?
Yeah, till the end of the year at the Catholic Cemeteries Association, any space that you purchase that is more than $7,500, you will get for 0% financing and 24 equal payments. So that's a pretty good deal, especially since I think the rate now is 8.5%. So all of a sudden now, financing, that's become real money. Any space less than $7,500, you pay in 12 equal monthly payments with no money down. So it's a great incentive. First time we've ever done it this way. So I really like it.
And again, this goes until?
Until the end of the year. December 31st, it's over, and that's it.
Is this the greatest offer that the Catholic Cemeteries Association has ever offered? I don't know if you've ever done anything like this before.
We've done something similar.
Right. I remember that.
We've done things similar, but they seem to be getting a little better and better as time goes on.
As the economy gets worse.
And as the economy gets, you know, that's actually, it's kind of strange, right? As the economy gets worse, we try and do more. But, you know, you got to do what you can to try and help families because we are a ministry. So
it's a great point. What do you want to talk about this morning? How about the Immaculate Conception? You want to talk about that?
Oh, you just pulled that one right out of the top of the air, huh?
Well,
the Immaculate Conception, of all the things that we could talk about.
Well, we're coming upon Christmas. We can wait. We can wait and talk about that some other time if you'd like.
The Immaculate Conception is wonderful. It's going to be celebrated on Thursday, I think.
Yes. Yes, Thursday.
Holy Day of Obligation, no less.
And we often talk about the misunderstanding of the true meaning of this holiday. We think about the Immaculate Conception. Everybody thinks it's Mary.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Well,
it was,
actually,
wasn't it Mary's mother?
It was actually, it is about Mary, but it wasn't about Mary's giving birth. It was
No, it's her being
her
born.
Her being born.
Right.
Which was kind of interesting. So yeah, the Immaculate Conception is often misunderstood. Some people think it refers to Mary conceiving Jesus.
No. Right, right. They think that, but it's not. Right.
But it's not. That's the Annunciation, actually.
The Annunciation. Okay? Which is coming up as well.
Yes, March. The Immaculate Conception means that Mary was, from the very beginning, without the stain of original sin, which, of course, was a consequence of the fall of Adam and Eve. So the Immaculate Conception means that Mary, the Mother of God, was preserved from all sin from the first moment of her conception in her mother's womb. Okay? Pope Pius IX, I think, proclaimed the dogma back in 1854, 4 years before Lourdes actually occurred, on the 25th of March. And she said, she actually stood in front of the children on March 25th and said that I am the Immaculate Conception. So to this day, the church celebrates only three birthdays. Christmas, which is obviously the Nativity, Christmas, which is the birth of Jesus, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the birth of John the Baptist. That's it. The common thread in these was that all three were born without original sin. Because if you think about it, Mary, because she was sanctified by God in the Immaculate Conception, Jesus, because he was God, and John the Baptist, because he leapt in the womb of his mother Elizabeth at the Visitation. And that was viewed as a type of baptism. And since baptism removes all sin from you, no matter when you get it, the first time you are baptized into the Catholic faith, that removes all sin. Baptism removes all sin. So him jumping in the womb was considered a type of baptism. So therefore, he was conceived with original sin, but was cleansed of that sin before birth.
Gotcha.
Kind of an interesting...
It is.
Interesting way to look at things, I think.
John the Baptist's mom...
Elizabeth,
thank you.
Yeah.
I was having a brain cramp. Yeah.
You were having a moment.
I was having a moment.
That's
yes.
right.
I knew that, and it just put up for, I blanked on it. So the historical accounting, let's just say, of Bernadette and the Lady of Lourdes is a very popular story for Catholics. And I know there's been movies and miracles even continue to originate from this story. And it's really one of the most popular pilgrimages made by Catholics and even others. Tell us a little bit about the historical significance of this story.
Well, the historical significance is it was that Our Lady herself was confirming the fact that she was the Immaculate Conception. Okay? As I said just a moment ago, Pope Pius, 4 years prior to her apparitions, Pope Pius had announced that the Immaculate Conception was dogma of the Church. And I'll get into the specific wording in a minute, but... So February 11th is the feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes, which is one of the most famous apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary that ever took place. On this day in 1858, a young poor girl named Bernadette Soubry was collecting firewood with a sister and another friend near a grotto when she saw a vision of a lovely lady. And in the words of Sister Bernadette, or Saint Bernadette, "I raised my head, looked towards the grotto, and saw a lady dressed in white, wearing a white dress, a blue girdle, and a yellow rose on each foot, the same color as the chain of her rosary." So obviously she was also holding the rosary. Mm-hmm. In the vision, Our Lady was praying the rosary. Bernadette reluctantly told her parents of the apparition, and in response, they forbade her from going back to the grotto. A few days later, on February 14th, Bernadette was permitted to return to the grotto, and again, the lady appeared to her. This happened again on February 18th. On this third visit, the lady asked Bernadette to come back to the grotto every day for the next 2 weeks. At these subsequent visits, the lady, who had not yet identified herself as the Blessed Mother, asked for a chapel to be built on the grounds, for Bernadette to pray for the conversion of sinners, and for her to drink the spring water that was revealed to her at the grotto. So the words of these apparitions spread rapidly and caused quite a stir in town. In response, Bernadette was detained by law enforcement, interrogated, harassed by civil authorities, as if she were a common criminal. The villagers, however, came to her rescue and demanded that she be released, because they actually threw her in jail for this kind of blasphemous talk. Through all these difficulties that came to her because of the apparitions, Bernadette was given this interior strength. In her words, "There was something in me that enabled me to rise above everything. I was tackled from all sides, but nothing mattered, and I was not afraid." You know, talk about having a gift from God. This is a kid. This is a little kid. Many of the townspeople believed that Mary was appearing to Bernadette, and they came down in large numbers to the grotto to pray. The spring that the lady asked Bernadette to drink from quickly revealed itself to be blessed water with miraculous healing properties. And to this day, it's a huge deal to go to Lourdes and get a little bottle of that water.
I've heard.
And bring it back. I actually have a little bottle of that water.
You went? Or somebody gave one back for you?
No, somebody gave it to me. I've never been to Lourdes. I'd love to. On March 25th, which is the Feast of the Annunciation, the lady appeared at the grotto again, this time identifying herself as the Immaculate Conception. And in the words of St. Bernadette, "With two arms hanging down, she raised her eyes, looked up to the sky, and it was then she told me, joining her hands together at the height of her breast, that she was the Immaculate Conception." And those were the last words that were ever said to her. So the Marian dogma of the Immaculate Conception had been pronounced just 4 years previously. This infallible dogma declared that the Blessed Virgin Mary, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and in the view of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, was preserved free from every stain of original sin. And that is a doctrine revealed by God, and for this reason must be firmly and constantly believed by all the faithful. So that's kind of like the dogmatic declaration that the Pope made in order to reaffirm the fact that this is a Catholic teaching that is to be affirmed, believed, and continued to be talked about. As for herself, Bernadette suffered much, not only through the physical suffering due to her chronic poor health, but also through jealousy and suspicion from others, because she was given the grace of visits from the Blessed Mother. I mean, you know, people look at you like, who are you that you should get the Blessed Mother come visit you? So there's a lot of jealousy that was going on. And this proved true, the words of Our Lady spoke to Bernadette, the grotto. I do not promise to make you happy in this world, but in the other. That's what she told St. Bernadette. 4 years after Our Lady of Lourdes appeared to St. Bernadette, the local bishop ruled the apparitions were authentic. St. Bernadette eventually entered a religious order where she continued to suffer physically, uniting her suffering to Christ, and died at a very early age. Today, a beautiful church has been erected on those grounds near the grotto at Lourdes. After Rome and the Holy Land, Lourdes, France, is the most popular place of pilgrimage for Catholic faithful. The water of Lourdes is readily available to all pilgrims, and numerous healings have been medically documented to have occurred there, as well as conversions to the faith because of these miracles. And her feast day is February 18th. So getting back to your original question, you can understand why this has historical significance to the Catholic Church, and her story is of some important.
When was this in the context of time?
Well, 1854. 1854 was the dogma. 1858 was when the apparitions began.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Do you know of anyone personally where they visited Lourdes and something miraculous happened? Like, look, I'm just going to give you an example. It doesn't have to necessarily be this. Where somebody had a chronic ailment. They visited Lourdes, they prayed, and they went home and they were cured.
Yes.
I don't mean you've read about it. I mean, and it doesn't have to be in your family. You know of someone personally.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Stage 4 cancer.
Oh, come on. Stage 4?
Yeah, what do you...
That's...
Gee, I'm sorry. We're putting limitations on God's ability here. Look at this. No, it's not... Don't let it be such a surprise. This woman had stage 4 cancer.
Wow.
They put her on an airplane. They took her to Lourdes because the mother had a dream that Lourdes is where she should take her daughter. She took her daughter to Lourdes. She knelt down. She drank the water from the spring, was miraculously healed. All cancer gone from the body.
People will hear this and start making their plane reservations.
Well, you know, listen, first off, who am I to question God? I mean, you know.
I understand that.
The fact of the matter is, you and I have had some minimal discussions about some of my experiences. I was miraculously healed, okay, which is what kind of set me, this is when I was 40 years old, set me on the path that I'm on with my faith. I won't go into detail.
No, because
here.
I know your early career had nothing to do with the Catholic Cemetery Association or Catholicism at
all. Or Catholicism of any sort.
Right.
I mean, I've always been a Catholic, but, you know, like, so what? You know, like the attitude that a lot of people have. But when that happened, when that occurred to me, or when it happened to me, it, of course, changed my life. But it also got me very much involved in it. So, and because of that, I have been involved in many things where I have seen many miraculous healings. Why God chose me to be able to do that or hear, experience that, probably because I got a big mouth and I'm not afraid to talk about it, is what my guess is. But, you know, and most people don't want to hear it, or most people don't believe it, and that's fine. I'm not trying to convince anybody. I can just speak to what I've experienced.
Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlich, Director of Family Services. I'm Gary Byron. You can find out more information on the Catholic Cemeteries Association on their website, which is www.ccacem.org, or their toll-free number, which is 800-505-0080. By the way, I will repeat those numbers as well as the website, and I'll even throw in a free email address more towards the end of the show. Tomorrow is the second Sunday of Advent. We were talking about the Advent calendar, I think, last weekend.
Yeah.
So let's shift gears a little bit and begin our discussion on Christmas. We started a couple of weeks ago with the Advent traditions. Let's talk about the birth of Jesus and the Bethlehem story, probably, you know, most known and accepted story in the history of man, if you ask me. I'm sure it's a good challenge for you. We can, of course, I mean, we run out of time. We can continue this conversation into next weekend. So,
the Christmas story and the birth of Jesus to me is just one of the most wonderful stories that I think exists. You know, every year during Advent season, the 24 days before Christmas, we read as a family, when I had children at home, we would read a little set of story booklets.
Get a chocolate, too?
No, well, that's the Advent calendar.
In the Advent calendar,
this was more just the stories.
Okay.
So it's 24 booklets, And each booklet has a little version, historically accurate and chronological, leading up to the birth of Jesus. You know, so Mary visited by the angel Gabriel, you know, Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem, you know, they find the inn. Yeah, I mean, all these little stories right. along the way. And it's just a beautiful little way for children in particular to experience it. And it's one of those things that I love that story, and it's because it's so simple. Think about this. Christ came to earth. Everybody was expecting the Savior, the Messiah. The Jews were all expecting the Messiah to be this
king. Glorified.
Right, right. Coming down saying, "He I is." Okay? And everybody bowed down before moi. And he came in the most simplest means possible.
On a donkey.
On a donkey.
That's why he went into Jerusalem.
That's going into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He came in, born in a manger in a barn, quietly. No fanfare. I mean, you know, talk about an entrance that you would never expect for the King of Kings, right? So to me, the whole Christmas story is just fascinating. And it all starts really with, I guess, the angel Gabriel, where he foretells the birth of Jesus. Mary was a young teenager living in the village of Nazareth, engaged to be married to Joseph, who was a Jewish carpenter. One day, God sent the angel Gabriel to visit Mary, and the angel told Mary that she would conceive a son by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a 14-year-old girl. Think about those words and the impact that she must have had on her. You know, she would give birth to this child, and his name would be Jesus. Well, at first, Mary, of course, is what? Afraid? Troubled by this angel's words? And she said, being a virgin, how can this happen? The angel explained that the child would be God's own son, and that nothing was impossible with God. Humbled and in awe, Mary believed the angel of the Lord and rejoiced in God, her Savior. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That's from Isaiah. So when you think about this, remember, there was no New Testament because Jesus wasn't born yet.
Right.
The Old Testament, Isaiah, had those words, and that is kind of the precursor to what was going to happen.
Emmanuel,
yeah. That means Jesus.
That means
Yes.
Oh.
So now, here you've got Mary, who is a virgin and is with child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you've got the other half of this side, and that's Joseph.
Boy, that's a pretty interesting conversation to have there.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Joe, here's what I got to tell you. I'm with child, but it's okay because it's God's. Well, they're all God's children. No. You don't understand. It's God's.
So, wow. And he stays with her,
well,
even though she could be stoned to death.
When Mary, you know, told him that she miraculously became pregnant, he felt disgraced.
Sure.
Because he knew the child wasn't his own. And Mary's apparent unfaithfulness would have carried a grave social stigma. And under Jewish law, Joseph not only had the right to divorce her, but he could have had to put to death by stoning, as you said.
Yeah.
But he was a good-hearted man. Although his initial reaction was to break the engagement, the appropriate thing for a righteous man to do, he treated Mary with extreme kindness. He did not want to cause her further shame and decided to act quietly. Then God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream to confirm Mary's story was true. She had indeed conceived the child by the power of the Holy Spirit. The angel reassured Joseph, telling him to take Mary as his wife, raise the boy as his own, and name him Jesus, because he would be a savior to his people. When Joseph awoke from his dream, he willingly obeyed God and married Mary, in spite of the public humiliation he would face. Joseph's noble character was one reason God chose him to be the Messiah's earthly father. So that's a really kind of a cool thing, right? Now, at that time, Caesar Augustus decreed that a census had to be taken. So every person in the Roman world had to return to his or her hometown to register. Joseph, being in the line of King David, was required to go to Bethlehem to register with Mary. The city of Bethlehem was a small village about 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem. So while in Bethlehem, the baby Jesus was born. Because of the census, the inn was overcrowded, and Mary gave birth to him in a crude stable. She wrapped the baby snugly in strips of cloth, placed him in a manger, which was an open box, a trough used to feed cattle and stuff. Mm-hmm. That night in a nearby field, an angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds who were tending their flocks of sheep. The radiance of God's glory surrounded the angel as it announced that the Savior of the world had been born in the town of David. The men were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And suddenly a great crowd of heavenly beings appeared with the angel and began singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to those of whom his favor rests." As the angelic beings departed, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see the Christ child." They hurried to the village. They found Mary, Joseph, and the baby. And the shepherds shared everything that the angels had said to them about the newborn Messiah. And then they went on their way praising and glorifying God. And then, of course, the last part of this is the Magi bringing gifts and the whole story of Herod, who at the time was king of Judea. At this time, these wise men saw the great star. They followed it knowing that the star signified the birth of the king of the Jews because they were astronomers as well. Okay, the wise men came to the Jewish rulers in Jerusalem and asked where this Christ was to be born. The rulers explained in Bethlehem in Judea, referring to Micah of the Old Testament. Herod secretly met with the Magi and asked them to report back after they found the child. Herod told the Magi that he wanted to worship the new baby. But secretly, Herod was plotting to kill the child. The wise men continued to follow the star in search of the newborn king. They found Jesus with his mother in Bethlehem. They offered the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when they departed, they did not return to Herod because in a dream, again, they were warned of the plot to destroy the child. And that's kind of the whole story, and it's beginning and end.
And I'm sure, look, we have another episode that we'll do next week leading into even closer to Christmas. We can talk more about the significance maybe of the Christmas story next weekend. Folks, you've been listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. If you'd like more information on the Catholic Cemeteries Association, very easy to obtain. Simply head online to their website, which is CCACEM, as in Mary.org. You can also send an email to us if you've got a question. We can even read it on these on this show. It's simply email us at ccawdrc@gmail.com. And if you'd like to set up a consultation with the Catholic Cemeteries Association, very easy to do. Call this toll-free number, 800-505-0080. Again, it's toll-free, 800-505-0080. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the CCA, I'm Gary Byron. Until next Saturday morning, thanks for listening, and have a good one, everybody. So long.